Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen. And our guest today is Chad Nesbitt from the Nesbitt Family of Insurance Agents. And his special guest today is Dan Riley from the Minnesota Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Chad, in previous podcasts, we've talked to all kinds of issues related to insurance, but one of the things that we want to talk about today was the advantages of a business owner buying insurance from an independent insurance agent. That's kind of a big statement. Can you give us some background?
That is a 1,000-foot overview. That's exactly right. One of the things that we wanted to talk about, because questions that come up kind of in a day-to-day, is when you're out there and you're meeting clients for the first time, they'll talk to you and you'll say, okay, listen, I'm an independent insurance agent. And a lot of the clients don't really understand what that means. You know, what value is that to me? You know, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of that's nice. And then they kind of move on. Well, to me, being in the industry for 18 years and actually a family industry going back to 74 when my father started it as an independent, it's kind of near and dear to my heart, the differences. And the most important thing is exactly when you say you're an independent rep is that we represent multiple carriers. We don't have to put a client into the specific needs of one carrier.
So you're independent of.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Okay.
So, you know, the difference that you're going to hear in the industry is a captive versus an independent. And there's nothing wrong with a captive. They've got their specific things that they do real well. But they've got an agent that's representing a captive, represents one company, one company's culture, one company's philosophy. We represent our own culture and our own philosophy, and then we find the carriers that fit that. So if we're out talking to a client, and the client is, we've talked about before, a manufacturer, and let's say, for example, there's some needs, there's some property issues, there's some GL issues or something, we can bring to the table 30 carriers. So competition is important. We can bring to the table 30 carriers that may want to write that company, whereas a captive, they've got to kind of fit you into that one that they've got.
So, for example, as an independent, you would be looking at your customer first. So, for example, if you were a broker or a real estate agent, mm-hmm. you would go around and you would show them all the houses that they said that they wanted, regardless of who was listing the house, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
When you're talking about these companies and the fact that you're independent, when you talk to a business owner, I'm assuming you've got a pretty good idea of if we've got a product manufacturer of the 30 companies that you write with, there's probably 10 or 15 that like writing that and write product liability. And with your experience, you know who they are.
Yeah.
So then you're out and you're qualifying them like we talked about when you how to buy your insurance and how to shop your insurance. The more you can find out about your business owner client,
right.
the better able you will be to bring them to the appropriate insurance company.
Yeah, I don't need to say anything, Tom. That was very well put.
No, I'm learning.
Very good.
That's exactly right. So we're going to do on our end, we're going to do a needs assessment. And what's important about us is when I'm sitting down with the business owners and I'm saying, okay, listen, tell me exactly what you need. And we've talked about this and how you shop your insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to conform to what, I can literally go out and say, okay, look it, I don't have to try and make my carrier conform to those needs. I can go out and shop and see who has this best option available for you. Like we talked about with carriers, some people like certain industries versus others. So if there's an industry that's attractive to one of these carriers, they're going to be able to go out and give better pricing, loss control, some of those ancillary things that we talked about. It's being able to fit the needs of that business owner better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not stuck with one option. We've got multiple options. And one of the things with the Nesbitt agencies is that we have 77 carriers. So not all of them are going to want to write a specific industry.
Every year.
Exactly. And the other thing is if you talk about a claim issue was to come up. Let's say you've been with a carrier for multiple years and you just had a bad string of luck. You're with a captive and they decide that they're going to non-renew you. You've had some issues. You didn't address those issues. Some of it's your own fault. I'm not blaming the other carrier here. But they decide we're going to non-renew. Well, that agent doesn't have an option. They're done. So you have to jump someplace
else. They can't find an alternative.
That's exactly right. Where we can go down and say, guess what? We've got some other options here for you. And if we need to, we may even break your account apart. So let's say your workers' compensation has been good, but the rest of it has been an issue. Then we can go out and shop the portions of your property, your GL, examples like that, with one carrier and put your workers' compensation with another.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the power of the independent. You know, we can be flexible. We can shop the marketplace competitively for you, and we can listen to, you know, what exactly do you need? We talked about that in shopping your insurance in a prior podcast, finding those specific needs and finding the carriers that fit those needs.
Okay, so you've been an independent agency for since your father started it, I'm assuming.
Yes, sir, since 1974.
And you've been a member of the Minnesota Independent Insurance Agents for probably just as long, I would guess, if it's been around that long.
Absolutely. My father has been very active in the independent agents, near and dear to his heart. He finds a great deal of value in the organization and the things that they do and the way that they try to go out and represent what it is that we do. And that's kind of why we brought it here today to talk about, you know, this trusted choice in an independent agent and what really does that mean when an independent agent comes knocking on your door.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's explore that a little bit. Why is the Nesbitt family of insurance agents a member of this association, and what does the association do for you?
Again, it's for the advocacy is the big thing. The message that they're trying to get across to, we talked about before, and actually we had shared a story just a little while ago talking about the radio. You know, why are we on the radio here? It's that brand identity. When we're out mm-hmm. talking to business owners now, people are listening to what we're talking about here, and they know the Nesbitt name. We've had people say, hey, I heard you on the radio. So there's some name recognition that knocks down that initial wall. Same thing with when you join the association. There's brand identification. When you're out there talking about the independent agencies and I'm a member of Trusted Choice, I saw those ads. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what that means. I saw the ads. What does that mean? You've got some talking points.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, Chad brought up Trusted Choice. Can you explain to me what that is?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Chad because he's been a great member. And if you think he's smart, you should meet his dad. He's unbelievable. But anyway, I know Chad.
That was kind of backhanded. Yeah, compliment.
I don't know.
He'll expect a check later today
yeah,
for that
that's
one.
Exactly right, boy. That's the nicest thing he's ever said to me. That's the unfortunate part.
And it's recorded.
Well, I represent the Minnesota Independent Insurance Agents. We've got 1,000 independent insurance agents around the state of Minnesota. These small businesses are in the local communities. They're really. Cemented into their local communities. They're leaders in the community. And most people throughout Minnesota go to their local communities to buy insurance. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud to represent these 1,000 agencies across Minnesota. They do a great job. They really know what's going on in the industry. They've got multiple companies to go to when the customer comes in for their insurance needs, whether it's commercial or personal lines, life, health, or disability. That's the route that most people go to in communities around the state of Minnesota.
So what I'm hearing, I'm struck by the level of relationship, the importance of that in this business.
Well, you know, most industries have an association. We represent independent agents.
Mm-hmm.
And not only provide them education value. We do education, you know, on a daily basis. They come into our offices. We provide professional education. It's the advocacy down at the state capitol. We're over there all the time trying to figure out what's going on, making sure that laws are passed that are good not only for the customers but for the agencies we represent. And the regulatory aspect, too. You know, we've got great relationship with the Attorney General's Office, with the Commerce Department, with the Department of Labor and Industry. We try to work with these individual regulatory bodies so things run smoothly for our customers and for the association and our members.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, can you give me an example? How does that advocacy equate to lower rates and lower costs for a business owner that has his insurance through an independent agent?
Well, you know, sometimes, depending on what bill is up in at the Capitol over there, it could cost you more money in regards to your insurance premium. One example, I think Chad could help me out here, is credit scoring.
Mm.
When credit scoring came
Don't
in...
Don't get me started.
Well, credit scoring came in, and a lot of people didn't understand it. Our members didn't understand it. The customers didn't understand it. But the proof is in the pudding. Over the long period of time, they've come up with a conclusion, statistically, that people with good credit history will have lower rates. And most of the individuals out there have good credit histories, and their rates are lower. Mm-hmm. Now, if you threw credit scoring out, I think it would probably affect everybody's price of the product, whether it's a homeowner's product or an automobile insurance product or whatever. Is that right, Jed?
Yeah, I mean, credit scoring is certainly something that statistically has been proven by the carriers. To the higher the credit score, the better the client's results will be.
I smell that underwriter in there again,
Jay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not even looking at Tom right now. I'm looking at my shoes because,
he's going to go.
That's right. He's getting red again. You know, one of the things we talk about, the advocacy, and one was an important issue that was on the Capitol that was thrown out, was one of the things they talked about was taking demographics out of the underwriting. So, in other words, I live in Le Sueur, Minnesota, which is a small town, 45 miles southwest of Minneapolis. They didn't want to have that be effective to your rates. So I would be paying the same rates, for example, as somebody that was living in downtown Minneapolis.
Ouch.
Well, people say, well, geez, this sounds great and it's fair. You know, they say it's unfair for the people in Minneapolis to be paying these higher rates just because of, you know, other things are going on. There's exposures as to why you're paying these higher rates. And they say, well, if we were paying the same rates as everybody else and demographics didn't apply, then it would just be a better system.
You're putting a blindfold on the underwriter
what happens, though, is the people that live outside the metro area, the people that live in these lower exposures, their rates are the ones that are going to be going up.
Right.
And some of these people choose to live in these areas because, you know, they don't want to live in the big city. They don't want to have this. Well, this was something that came to the Capitol, and legislation was going to come across, and it was immediately eliminated, you know, through some advocacy on behalf of what the independent agents do to say, look, let's think this thing through.
So, Dan, you led that charge against throwing it out.
Well, we helped the insurance companies to convince the legislature over there that it's probably not a good idea. Okay. Now, however, I mean, credit scoring is good, credit scoring is bad, but here's what I would want to caution people. You know, think twice about taking out that extra credit card because it does affect your credit score, does affect the price of your product when you buy auto and home insurance. Pay your bills on time. I know today in this economy, you know, people are having probably quite a bit of problems paying their bills, and it's going to affect their credit score, which is going to affect a lot of things that they do all across the economy. So, you just have to be careful nowadays to make sure that you keep that credit score high.
Dan, a common theme in these podcasts with Chad that we've done to date was to pay attention to who his business owner customers are and mm-hmm. to help them as much as possible to avoid gaps in coverage and to reduce their premiums as much as possible, because it's a pure expense for a business owner. You have to have the protection against the exposures that we've discussed, but also we want to hold those premiums down so that they can still make some money. How does that flow through to the association? You must be helping your independent agents to focus on their customers' needs as well.
Well, we've mounted a campaign called Trusted Choice. Trusted Choice is a brand for all of our members. Trusted Choice is a brand that our members can be proud of. For a long time, we haven't been able to tell the story because we're independent insurance agents. And individually, they do their own marketing, their own branding, and so forth. Nationally, we want to bring everybody together under one brand, like a McDonald's, like a Nike, like Caribou Coffee. And we're doing it in Minnesota. We're starting to spread it across the country. There are 30,000 independent insurance agents around the country on every wow. street corner. You know, that could be the next Caribou Coffee, in a sense that when people see independent agent, the Trusted Choice brand, the Trusted Choice logo, they'll say, I'm going to get quality insurance care from that independent agent. That's what we're trying to produce with this branding initiative.
Just help me understand the branding a little bit better. How does Trusted Choice, how does this work with the independent agents?
Well, because they're a member of our organization, mm-hmm. we've got a national brand, and we provide them advertising opportunities. You know, we can consolidate the message and so forth. We ask them to live by the pledge of performance. Means the pledge is, you know, I'm going to live by a code of ethics. The people that I hire are going to be the best qualified, best educated. We're going to give you 24-hour service. Mm-hmm. When you come in, we're going to shop your insurance, as Chad said, through 75 markets if that's where we have to go to.
So
we're
you would have this mark on your website. People would know then.
Yes.
Yeah.
On your cards.
Let me tell you about the Pledge of Performance is a big issue for us because it's the ethical standards by which people that become a member of the association agree to adhere to. It's an operating practice.
Okay.
So, you know, the 77 carriers, that varies. That's a competitive advantage that the Nesbitt agencies has. You know, so that's something that not everyone is going to be, every independent isn't going to have the same amount of carriers, isn't going to have the same services.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see a trusted choice label, you know that they're going to be operating under an ethical pledge of performance. So it kind of levels the playing field a little bit on our end because it's important that, you know, if you see something that's out there, that everybody is kind of have at least the same operating model.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want people doing, playing games or different things of that nature.
But this is good. I mean, it says you're ethical.
Yeah, exactly. You got to start there. You know, people hold trust
basic
insurance agents
business
to begin with. You know, and Tom and his underwriters.
You got to remember, Chad, I'm an old bean counter.
Well, when you buy from a captive or an internet site or through an 800 number, you know, when you have a claim, you want somebody to fight for you.
Mm-hmm.
And our people, these agents are going to go out there and fight for you on your behalf. And, you know, when you buy something from an 800 number, who are you going to call? You don't know that person. Well, you know your local independent trusted choice agent,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to go out and they're going to fight for you because that's what you're paying for. You just don't pay them for just the cheapest insurance. You pay a premium for their expertise and their ability to make sure that your claim is paid and paid correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Chad, that's something we really haven't covered too much. We've talked about helping the business owners, controlling their costs, loss production, all those things. But now they're out there and they're operating their business as best they can and something happens. Now it produces a claim. How do you support them on that?
A couple of different ways. When you have a claim, you know, workers' compensation, if we started there, you're going to have that first report of injury that you're going to complete. Now, internally here, we've got a staff that would handle that for you. You'd have an assistant, you know, somebody internally, a customer service rep dedicated to your account. You'd call in, talk to them, and report it. You also, with some carriers, to expedite the process even quicker, they'll have phones. Pick up the phone and call. You don't have to go through all the paperwork, fill it out, fax it in like you used to in the old days. What you do is just call in and say, here's what happened. And you do it over the phone. So when you've had that event, the important thing to understand here, and I guess we really haven't talked about this in the event of a claim, is make sure that you report that claim immediately, either directly to the carrier or to the agent. Somebody needs to be notified about this. You can't let it slip through. I mean, it's a duty contractually inside of there. You agree. When you buy a policy, the company agrees, it promises to pay your claim under the following covered events, and you agree to notify them in the event of the claim in a timely fashion.
Well, you were talking about one that didn't file it.
Yeah. I mean, in situations that, you know, we've talked about where people have waited.
Yeah.
Or they thought that this was a situation with a landlord and a tenant.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll talk about at a different time kind of what happened with the tenant situation and the landlord here. But what happened was that the landlord assumed that the tenant was taking care of it. Multiple occupants inside of this building. And the landlord had the carrier come in. The adjuster walked through the facility. And they came to one door that was locked the day. And they said, okay, listen, this is one of the people. They said, don't worry about it. He's already taken care of it. Well, what happened then is the situation. Yeah, that's exactly right. The situation here was there was some water damage inside of that facility, and the claim had been paid to the tenant, not to the landlord. And they came in 30 days later and found out there's been some ancillary damage, and the carrier denied the claim because, you know, they said, listen, had we been able to handle this claim from day one, you never would have had these ancillary damages. So we're going to talk a little bit about what happened later on the legal aspect of what the tenant had done in this situation. But the big thing was that the carrier said, look, you've got mold, and you never would have had that mold had you reported this claim and allowed us to properly get in and mitigate this from day one. So it's important that you report that. And then the other thing is on workers' compensation, it's important that you report every claim. People say, well, I just cut my finger a little bit. It's no big deal. You need to report every claim because if something was to develop from that, the carrier can use the same argument. Well, had we known, you know, that this was a bigger claim at the time, we would have adjusted and handled this differently. The person cut the finger. Now, this is an extreme example I'm going off on here, but person cuts the finger, disease you know, loses the finger down the road. You know,
now you're getting the turns these take. Yeah. I tell you,
damn it, I'm starting to understand.
How about that hangnail?
Yeah, right. these things happen. We laugh about it, but on a day-to-day basis, you'd be surprised that these things do come up. Now, these are the extreme examples, but you talk about something where a person has had a knee injury or something like that. You know, we always say today's injuries are tomorrow's surgeries. So you need to make sure that you report everything that's going on, because a carrier wants to make sure that they're handling that claim. They're aware of it. They know what this person is doing. They can determine whether or not they need treatment. There's just a lot of things that can happen. So make sure that when you have that claim, no matter what it is, make sure that you contact your agent.
So or on a work comp type claim, what's the timely reporting?
Timely reporting should be the day that it happens. You want to report within 24 hours. But the day that it happens, the faster, and report everything. I know there's people that have heard before that, well, we try to handle it. I've actually heard people say, well, we pay the small claims ourselves.
Yeah, ooh, I've heard that too.
No. Don't do that. You know, they say, well, then we have a trend and our rates are going to go up. Again, an underwriter is going to look at things a little bit differently. If you do have a trend, then you need to address it. Why are you having this trend? If you have a lot of cut fingers, why are those cut fingers happening? And what can you do through loss control to control this? But not paying or not reporting the claim and paying the claim yourself is not solving that problem. Right. All you're doing is delaying the inevitable. If you've got a trend of cut fingers, sooner or later that cut's going to go a little deeper and you're going to lose a finger. And you don't want to see an injured employee. But that's a loss control issue.
He's on a mission.
Yeah, we got to talk in politics earlier. Boy, I almost had my soapbox out and got myself in trouble. I had to kick that thing out to the side.
Certainly, there has to be some balance for an employer. If it's something that triggers a trip to the doctor, then it's probably reported. If it's a hangnail, it's probably not.
I mean, if you have to have some, that's exactly right. Yeah. But don't take the attitude that, hey, I'm going to control this myself. You know, don't be afraid of your insurance carrier. Don't be afraid of having your rates going up. Don't be afraid of having your claims denied. If you've got that fear, that means that you're aware of some issues that you need to address.
Well, really, in the form of an insurance policy, a business owner has hired an insurance company to help them participate in loss control issues and to help them deal with these business mm-hmm. issues. So once you've hired them in the form of paying the premium, you really mm-hmm. should use them as another management tool yep. to help run your company, and the training and the loss prevention and all those other things.
And that goes back to the independent, because you talk about a great point there. Not every carrier has loss control available. So when we talk about before, we talked about shopping your insurance in one of the previous podcasts, we talked about fitting the needs of your business. Well, if the needs of your business is loss control, make sure that your agent is aware of that and reaching out to carriers that have loss control of services available. Because if you're just paying a cheap price for, let's say, workers' compensation, and there's no loss control, and that's really what you need, that is not a long-term business solution for your business. In the long run, you're going to have a higher experience mod, and you're going to have a company that is not going to want to be desirable. So your rates are going to go up, and you're not going to save yourself money. You know, if you've got issues, back to that whole thing with a trend, you want to work with your agent and say, look, we've got problems. You know, just be open about it. Don't fear the underwriter, Tom.
Well, I'm not afraid of the underwriters.
Work with
but
the underwriter. The important
issue here is if a business owner has some kind of recurring problem that's an insurance-related issue, he should be going to you, the independent insurance agent, and saying, listen, I need some help with this.
Absolutely.
Can you go find me some help, whether it's training, whether it's whatever it might be, to make sure that this doesn't happen again in the future? It's all about prevention, as far as I'm concerned. It's not about that underwriter sitting in that dark room in the back of some basement somewhere.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. Reach out. Make sure that you're reaching out to it and put the onus back upon them to say, look, if you're going to be my agent, here's the issues that I have, and here's what I want to have solved. Can you solve these for me or not? And that's an important and open and frank discussion that you need to have with your current agent, because these are things that will save you money long term. You know, looking the other way and just hoping it's going to get better isn't going to help.
How important is it for the agent to know the industry that their client is in?
And it's very important, especially when you get into manufacturing, because then you're going to know the exposures. Mm-hmm. You know, so for example, you talk about inside our organization, we have got very definitive groups that handle only that. Our commercial lines producers do commercial lines, meaning that they'll handle specifically general liability, workers' compensation. Our personal lines agents handle just personal lines, homeowners and auto. you know, it's important because you can't be the jack of all trades anymore. There's too much going on in industries that you need to know. Mm-hmm. This is why we segmented our business. Our health guys are not pretending to be P&C agents, and our financial products people are not trying to be personal lines.
Well, I guess what I was looking at was more the technology and cloud computing, or, you know, someone is in that field.
Mm-hmm. So are you talking about a specific, if you're into commercial lines, getting into manufacturing, getting into retail and having experience in those lines?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, for example, if you've got an agent that handles manufacturing and that's all they do, they're going to know those exposures better than anybody else, and they're going to know the markets better than anybody else, and they're probably going to have a good relationship with those carriers. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, if a count comes in from, you know, Chad Nesbitt, and I've been specializing in roofing contractors, and that's all I do. If a carrier sees it comes from me and I've been telling the story, they know that I have the experience to back up what's going on.
Right.
Versus an agent that might, you know, they see maybe two or three pieces of business from them a year, and it's usually personal lines, and suddenly they're bringing in a roofing contractor. Okay, what do they know about that industry? Because for a carrier, we're their eyes and ears. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the foot soldiers that are out there that are showing them. They're trusting that what we're bringing to them is what they're looking for.
Okay.
So if you get an unusual manufacturing company of some kind, can you go to one of your carriers and say, I've got an unusual specific circumstance? Have you got someone that's been involved in that type of a deal before? Can they come out and help us take a look at this business?
Yeah,
you have
absolutely
access to those kind of resources?
Yeah, so if we've got something that's new and unique to us, what we would do is sit down, and we've kind of have a team approach to it. We have a centralized marketing staff. We'd sit down with the marketing and say, okay, listen, what else have we seen in the past similar to this? How should we tackle the account? Products is a huge issue. Can we laser out just that line? And let's shop that here. And we'll take the ancillary lines that are you know, pretty basic and not a lot of exposure, and we'll shop those out to separate carriers. So it's a team approach, and that's the way that we would look at it.
It's way more than just writing an insurance policy and collecting a premium. We're finding that in this series of events. Chad, what other type of support do you get from the Minnesota Independent Insurance Agencies? We're down to just a couple of minutes here.
Well, the big thing that we talked about before is the brand identity and the advocacy down at the Capitol. You know, the legislative efforts that are made on our behalf is important. That's like we talked about in the last one, affinity groups and the power of an affinity group. If you want to get your message heard a little bit louder, you want to be a part of a group that's active. So that's mm-hmm. why we're in there, is because they're active. They're active in branding. They're active in advocacy. Both very important issues to us.
Dan, any final thoughts about independent insurance agents for our listeners?
Well, these agencies across the state of Minnesota are good business people. They understand what they're doing. They're not going to tackle a risk that they don't feel comfortable with. Most of them won't do that. There are larger agencies like the Nesbitt agencies that they've got the expertise for the larger accounts, and those are the agencies that the big manufacturers will probably go to, or Nesbitt agencies will seek them out. So you just have to trust the trusted choice independent agent out there to do the best job.
Good.
Well, that's great, Chad. Independent insurance agencies, you've got me sold on it. Having access to as many possible sources to write the insurance policy just makes sense to me that you should be able to find one of those underwriters that'll do a better job and give you a cheaper rate.
You know, Tom, I tell you what I'm going to do is there's got to be an underwriters association somewhere, and we're going to get you to speak there.
Bring them in. Bring them in, and we'll find out exactly what they do in that dark room. Hey, bring one of those with you next time, Chad. I want to talk to them. Well, this has been very enlightening about the independent insurance agents of Minnesota and across the country. And any final thoughts, Chad?
Yeah, call an independent agent, of course. That's the message that we want to have today. With an independent agent, you have choice.
Did he just ask for the deal? I think he did. So far, we haven't had any commercials on this, but I think we just had one. Well, this has been an enlightening discussion. I want to thank you, gentlemen, for being with us today. I'm Tom Lyons, and for my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen, I'd like to thank Chad Nesbitt of the Nesbitt Insurance Agencies and Dan Riley from the Minnesota Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers for being with us on this segment of Today's Business Radio.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.